Today's Fan Run Podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
Check out DraftKings Sportsbook, the official sports betting partner of the UFC. New users can bet $1 on Conor McGregor to win by a knockout in the first round, and if he does, you'll be cashing in $257. Download DraftKings Sportsbook app and sign up using the code FANRUN in all caps. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Restrictions apply. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line 1-800-889-9789.
Thanks I get for working overtime.
Overtime! I'm still a pickle, think I got a little situation. So listen to me, sister, listen, maybe you can help. I think I give a lot of fathers my consideration. But not for me, it always seems to be for someone else. Why all the people always seem to just be on vacation? What they won't get from it, I don't get anything at all. I'm like a trash can holding all the information.
Welcome into Overtime, Fan Run Radio, Fox Sports Knoxville, live from the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. If you're listening on Periscope, I say listening because you aren't watching. Well, you're watching an orange screen. We are having technical difficulties in the studio today. I'll try to work those out as we get through the show, but as of right now, we're just going to be having it with no camera. So, Overtime here, live from the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. Go ahead and shout out the technical difficulties we're having just to make excuses real quick. But we're live. We're here. Fellas, before we get to the breaking news that just genuinely just broke right before we came on air, it was kind of in between the transition of power between the drive and overtime. Fellas, how are we doing before we get to that?
I'm doing okay. I'm doing all right. Had a pretty good day today.
I'm glad.
Relaxed. As usual, took it nice and easy. Had a business change today. Pretty good. Ate some wings, which are very good.
Yummy
Enjoyed
wings.
It.
Yummy wings. Are you okay?
Yummy wings.
That's how I describe food.
Okay.
It's either gross or yummy, and there's no in between.
They were good.
Good. I'm glad they were yummy.
Am I a what?
So I kind of am a wimp when it comes to spice, but also a wimp when it comes to wings or
right.
food. I don't like eating food off the bone. It makes me feel right. like an animal. So I like to, it's kind of, I get bullied because the dude who made the term saucy nugs, but I boneless wings. Boneless wings are the way to go.
Okay.
Do you disagree?
Depends.
Or are you a traditional guy?
Depends on where I get them. If I go to like a barbecue place, I'm getting them on the bone because they taste better that way.
Because they're smoked and they're actually good.
Yeah,
I feel that.
A good
fall off the bone, I can do. But when you have to like rip it off
at
a chain restaurant like you're at.
Yeah. If I'm going chain, I definitely go boneless because I can just eat them with a fork. Just pop. It's mostly just convenience.
And you don't get your fingers all nasty.
Yeah. I mean, I ate them in the car. So
fair enough.
I didn't want to eat in a restaurant. So I just got them to go.
You always want to be safe.
I had a gift card. So it was pretty great. So yeah, but if I'm going to a barbecue joint where it's going to be premium wings,
yes,
I will 100% be getting on the bone.
If they're nice, good smoked wings, I'll eat them off the bone.
Yeah.
Or if someone cooks me wings, I'll eat them whatever. But if I'm getting preferably, you got to go boneless.
Have to.
Got to go mild too. You can't get too hot. No one likes too hot of food.
I can eat. Depending on how good the wings are.
It's a good point by you.
If it's good quality wings, I can usually go hotter. But if they're just regular old...
Where you got to chew it a ton and the spice is going to be in your mouth?
Regular old wings give me a mild. I just want the flavor. I don't need the heat.
Yeah.
But if you make a good wing sauce where the heat is also very flavorful, I can do that as well.
That
Folky,
is fair.
How you doing, man?
Yeah, how was your day, Folky?
How was my day?
Yes.
My day was fine. Got up really early, did a whole lot of school work.
Sick.
That was super fun.
Aren't you glad that started back up again?
I'm so excited.
Yeah,
I love geology and geography.
Geology?
Yeah, I really don't like...
Studying rocks, Folky?
Well, I don't like biology or chemistry.
Okay.
I failed biology in high school.
Biology's just living things, though. You're
biology.
One
of those, yeah.
But rocks, dude.
That you couldn't.
Good point
be,
by you.
You
no,
couldn't
no,
be further
no,
from a rock.
No, no,
rocks.
He has a point. Rocks,
what's
dude.
What's the point?
Rocks, dude.
Rocks, dude.
Okay.
Rocks rock.
So are you like Hank Schrader from Breaking Bad now? You all into minerals? Did you watch Breaking Bad?
Folky, please tell me you make a ton of puns the whole entire class. That would be the only reason I took a geology class, would just be learning all the rocks so I can make some puns.
Just like rocks.
You're just a big rock guy.
What's your favorite thing that you learned today in geology class, Folky?
Oh,
main thing that you can teach the
anything.
Listeners.
Rocks.
It's like day four.
You
think
learned
this
nothing,
guy's learning?
Man?
No, I did. Rocks are made up of minerals.
Congratulations. Wow.
Good point by you.
Breaking news, guys.
Breaking.
We do have a little bit of breaking news. 12 minutes ago, I'm reading Max Olson. I know a couple other people have broke the news, but I'm just going to read this dude's tweet.
I think he was the first one.
Was he the first one?
I believe so.
Then fair enough. I guess I'll give the shout out to Mr. Olson. Tell Mary Kate and Ashley. I almost said Mary and Kate and Ashley, but
all
tell,
three of them.
Tell Mary Kate and Ashley. I said, "What's up, Mr. Olson?"
Well,
Tennessee linebacker Henry To'oto'o has entered the transfer portal. At The Athletic, college football has learned freshman All-American in 2019, 22 starts in his first two seasons, which would be all 11 games each two seasons. Along with that, though, Tennessee has also lost Jameer Johnson, former starting offensive lineman. He started 17 games in three seasons, five at left tackle this year, which with those two players.
Hold on. There's a third.
There's a third?
Just came out 2 minutes ago. David Ubben of The Athletic says the Tennessee linebacker Quaveris Crouch is also in the transfer portal that The Athletic has just learned. So that is three within the last 10 minutes. Three starters. Quaveris Crouch plays a good amount. But three vital pieces going into the 2021 season are checking out greener pastures.
Ah, man.
It's not great.
To'oto'o sucks. Jameer Johnson, losing any depth on the offensive lineman sucks.
Awful.
Quaveris Crouch, like I was very hyped up. Sick Walmart wrestling video. Should have scored a rushing touchdown, but he didn't do really that much. Like, it's definitely going to be a big piece you're missing, a starting linebacker who has experience on a team that's going
yes.
to need experience. But at the same time, that's probably the name I'm least concerned about out of those three. But it definitely does suck. Losing depth everywhere as they are running fastly. Tweet here, shout out Vol Rumor Mill Houston if you're listening. All these players leaving makes me think that their reason for being here has expired.
Yeah.
Quote, there, looking at the transfer portal, those three players not included. You also have Jarrett Garantano, Kasim Hill, JT Shrout, all three quarterbacks leaving as well. Ty Chandler leaving. Jordan Allen, Jackson Lowe, Brandon Johnson. I almost read Austin Pope, but he came back. Yes. Isaiah Montgomery, Wanye Morris, Jarius Acrombie. Savion Williams, Ethan Rink, Kevon Bennett, DeAndre Jordan plays for the Nets.
Yeah, not that guy.
Niles Gaddy, Baylen Buchanan, and that's it. Those are the ones. It looks like here on 247, Sean Schamberger is still listed as transferring, but it looks like he's going to be coming back.
Trey Wallace of the station just tweeted and said, I mean, he said Quaveris Crouch and running back Eric Gray have also entered the transfer portal along with Henry To'oto'o. So Eric Gray also gone.
Oh, man.
Possibly gone. He could come back, but...
Do we even need a new coach?
Do we even have a team?
Yeah.
Do we even have a team?
I wonder what Sarah Fuller's doing right now.
Can she run? Can she run the football?
I really hope she can enter the transfer portal
block?
And come over here.
No, we got a kicker, so she's going to have to learn to play linebacker, I think.
She could.
You know what?
6'2".
Yeah.
170 something,
yeah,
I think.
She's one of the more athletic people on that Vanderbilt team. I don't think they'll let her transfer.
No, probably
she's
not.
Better players.
She's not even at Vanderbilt, I don't think, anymore.
Man,
she
so
was at
in,
the inauguration today.
Didn't she
she's
go to
D.C.?
She was.
So she's actually closer to Tennessee, University of Tennessee, than she is Vandy.
I thought she went to somewhere in Texas to play soccer.
I don't know.
I think that's true. I think she did transfer out of
she probably still has
Vandy.
Some football.
Man, so this is what it's like. This is what's going to happen.
Yeah, this is it's going.
This is where it starts.
It's.
I guess no. This isn't where it starts. It's already started. It started before the firing
down.
Even happened. Like we had already seen a couple of players leaving. Now, obviously, man, in the past 20 minutes, Henry To'oto, Jameer Johnson, Quarius Crouch, Eric Gray, all have entered the transfer portal. That definitely brings you down, man. I don't know what to say. Like, there's really. There's definitely negative takeaways, but there's also how much worse can it get? You know what I mean? It can get bad, and it can get much worse. But 3-7, new coach, we're starting over anyways. If we're having a program reset and players are leaving, like
yeah, but that doesn't mean you want to go 0-10 next year with a new coach.
I'm not saying I want to go 0-10, but at the same time, it's just I don't know.
If you wanted to save as much as you can, you wanted to save all of these guys if you possibly could, and that's not happening. Possible case scenario,
you want to save as much as possible, but it's like getting jumped when you have $200 in your wallet versus getting jumped when you have $2 in your wallet. Right now, I feel like.
Sure, but the thing is, like when you get robbed, you know, say you get robbed with $1,000 in your pocket, you still have money in the bank. That's just your cash. When in this scenario, you get robbed with the $2 in your pocket,
our savings account.
That's all you got. That $2 was your last $2.
Our sock money is rent.
We're done. I don't know what the hell we do. This program is deep, deep down in a cavern right now of problems. We need to hire a coach and fast. I don't know if it's I don't think it needs to be Kevin Steele. It needs to be somebody, and it needs to be somebody soon. Otherwise, we're not going to have a football team next year. We're going to have to do what some teams have had to do and skip out on a season because we don't have the players to play.
Have you did you see?
That's obviously an extreme scenario.
Yes. Did you see where Kevin Steele possibly working on staff moves already?
Yeah, I'm a fan of bringing Rodney Garner in. Rodney Garner he's coached here before.
Yeah, he's coming back
and he's
to the same roots.
And he's pulled in double-digit NFL players before. He's a fantastic recruiter.
I just don't know how much I like. Okay, I love yes, that's what I was about to say. You know what I mean? Like, because we talked about it yesterday with the positive and negative from it. If you want to get tinfoil hatty and say, like, okay, well, maybe he's just going ahead and making the hires that the next guy's going to make. But if we're hiring guys just to go ahead and replace them here shortly, or if Steele's allowed to hire guys and we're just waiting on hiring Steele as the head coach, then that does not come from me at all.
The good thing about Rodney Garner is he is already coached at Tennessee before.
Tennessee guy, blood, that's always good.
So I think and he's not coming in as like a coordinator. I think he's going to be a tight ends coach or a linebacker coach, one of the two. I'm not sure. He's going to be just a true assistant position coach. I think they would allow him to stay on is what it seems like it's going to be to me.
I wouldn't mind having him stay on if that interferes with, we talked about it yesterday when we were doing the coaching draft, if that interferes with the hiring of a Gus Malzahn or any other coaches out there, then you gotta get rid of him. But I don't know. When it happens in front of your face, it's hard to have a take. You know what I mean? Like when it happens at noon, come in here and have a take. But when it happens and then you gotta have a take 30 seconds in advance or 30 seconds like that, I don't know how to feel because there's so many different emotions that can, or so many different things that can come out of this.
Yeah, I think Rodney Garner will stay on regardless. He's a fantastic addition. He's really good. He's a fantastic scout, recruiter, all that sort of stuff.
Yes,
he'll be good. And I think he stays no matter what.
Maybe just because this is the first hire. Looking at this hire, and again, I wouldn't hate this hire. But if this leads to more and more and more, and if those are guys either that we have to replace or, again, that we have to keep because we're keeping Steele, then just let us know now because waiting is not going to work. We're seeing what waiting is doing to us right now. Hit a quick break. Come back. Figure out what's going on. Keep talking about this. I was going to talk about the game last night, but it looks like we're going to have to talk about this for a little bit. Then probably talk about
debacle.
The bad, bad time that happened in the swamp last night. We'll be right back after this break.
Now the
Welcome back in, Fan and Radio, Fox Sports Knoxville, live from the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. We were going to talk about some breaking news out of the Tennessee world, but there's some other breaking news out of the Tennessee world that we've been having to talk about. The transferring of four players in the past, what would you say, 20 minutes, 30 minutes?
15.
Maybe. It's been quick. Crouch, Eric Gray, Henry To'oto'o, and Jameer Johnson have been reported to enter the transfer portal, I guess is the proper way to say this. I'm new to this whole talking on a mic about real things.
Yes,
thing.
They're not gone.
I had a whole summer of fake sports and fake news, and so now that we're here, it's when we're dealing with real things, I have to be careful with my words, I feel like.
Yes, they have entered the portal. They are not gone from the university yet. They are just testing the waters as the portal.
It's like entering the NBA draft and then coming back like Ponce did, but...
But this
much different.
The chances of them going are much more than them staying. Mm-hmm. I would say, especially. I worry about Eric Gray. I think Eric Gray. I worried about Eric Gray's eligibility to begin with at the beginning of like going into 2021 because he was ineligible for the A&M game. He was, you know, rumored to be a part of the investigation as well. I think we may lose Eric Gray pretty assuredly. Sadly.
So out of 17 guys that I'm looking at, and I might have counted wrong because I was trying to listen and count at the same time. But out of 17 guys right here on this 24/7 transfer portal for Tennessee, not including the most recent four.
Yeah.
Out of 17 guys, how many do you think have said they're transferring and come back to Tennessee?
One.
It's only two.
Who else?
Austin Pope.
Besides Austin Pope.
Sean Schamberger. We mentioned him earlier.
Schamberger. I forgot. Yeah.
Decided to come back. Or at least that's what it says here. I don't know if he's officially said he's coming back, but it does have the arrow. I haven't clicked on anything to see if it's an arrow of complete intent or an arrow of this is what it's leaning towards and this is what we're predicting.
Because it is a recruiting site. He pulled his name out. So yeah, because he pulled his name out almost like a day later. He went in and out very quickly. So We got Austin Pope and Schamberger, so we'll have at least maybe one wide receiver covered and one tight end, and hopefully Harrison Bailey stays.
We got Salter.
Salter's coming. I would like to have two quarterbacks.
That's fair.
I would like to have two. We have Hooker coming in.
Oh, I forgot we have a Hooker.
We have Hooker. But God, there's not a lot to be excited about around this program right now.
No, and that brings me to my next point. Did you see the news that Mr. I feel like we've just been saying his name a ton because he's been doing such great work. Mr. Trey Wallace.
Yes.
Tweeted out today.
Yeah, it is that despicable.
Would you call...
I
mean, it's financial support. I'm trying to think. Child support is when you pay to take care of your children. Retirement support, coach support, athletic director support.
At the end of the day, it's a buyout. He's fired. Like, he got fired. They tried to sugarcoat it and make it look like he was retiring. I don't know why the hell he was up there at that press conference up there talking whenever he was fired.
Well, because recruiting was good.
Because recruiting was good because we were paying people McDoubles to get them to come to school here. What the hell is going on?
Hi, Trey. Here you go. The details of AD's former transition have not been finalized. However, we anticipate that when he leaves the athletics director position, he will receive $37,000, shout out to the station, all 37 listeners, and $500 per month through December 31st, 2023. My credit card expires before that. And I got it 2 years ago. We are paying this man longer than I will have a credit card.
Yeah.
Tennessee, according to Trey's tweet, owed Fulmer 50% of his remaining deal if let go. So there's that. I mean, it definitely seems hush money is not the appropriate word, but it's definitely money to keep some things dishonest, to keep the picture that they were portraying true.
Yeah.
What they were trying to show us true.
We're giving this guy around $1.35 million to leave.
Seems fair.
It does not seem fair.
Hey, Nate, Mr. Godfather, I've been thinking about stepping down, and I could really use some help. Any way I could
get a deal like Fulmer.
The only problem with that is he doesn't owe you any money right now.
That's a good point.
I mean, technically, we
I might
owe
mow the Fulmer. Lawn like 30 times in a row in one day just so he owes me a little bit.
Okay, and then charge him interest.
Yeah, maybe. Smart. Will Stevens, the genius.
Right. The good thing, the one possible positive about this, and Trey talked about it on the drive, is the verbiage within that email is that it's, I think they use the word, they are expecting to pay
anticipating,
him.
Anticipating.
So it's not a done deal. He is not 100% getting that.
So it could be more, could be less.
Or it could be nothing at all because they could say they fired him for cause mm-hmm. because he was the overseer of this entire operation and he completely botched his job as athletic director to oversee the football program.
No, this literally feels like you go out, you buy a car, your promise is going to work, and then you go buy a Tesla and it has the self-driving function and you think you're going to be okay, and then the Tesla wrecks itself, but then you still have to pay the rest of your car payment.
Yeah.
Like, we watched the Tesla drive itself into a brick wall, and then we're still going to have to pay the remaining money that we owed on it. Man, I was really looking forward to doing some different Philip talk. I was looking forward to doing some Philip Rivers slander, to talk about some old quarterbacks, talk about some new quarterbacks who might be landing in new spots, and instead, we're talking about the decade of the Vols.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know what happens from here. We've got to hire a coach. We've got to get a coach to Kevin Steele right now is, dear God, I hope not our head coach, because if he is, and they've already told the players that, and this mass exodus is happening because of that, we are in big trouble. I don't believe that to be true. I think they are going to hire someone else from outside the program right now, and we need somebody who is electric. We need somebody to get these guys back. Kevin Steele went and talked to the players, or talked to the staff recently after he was put in, and he said his goal for his time as interim was to pretty much recruit the players that we have and get them to stay. And keep them from transferring. He has failed so far. I mean, he's been the interim coach for 2 days now. Correct? Monday, he was made interim?
About.
Yeah. Yes. No, it was.
Monday morning?
It was, yes.
Monday morning. It is now... About. It is now Wednesday. It is now Wednesday, 2 days later, and we have lost 4 players in a matter of 30 minutes... that were key parts to this 2021 team, and we may lose more.
Bro, I swear I might be bad juju. Born 2002, all of a sudden decline starts for 20 years. My birthday happens next day, Kevin Steele's name interim, and I've been 19 for 3 days, and there's no more players on the Tennessee roster.
Yeah.
But hey, at least we're ranked in basketball.
Maybe. If we keep playing like we did last night, we won't be ranked for much longer.
Ranked for now.
Ranked for now.
Yeah. We're ranked for now.
6, and then in a little asterisk, it says for now.
It's only the second loss. It is 2 losses in conference play, which sucks.
Spanked.
But at the same, definitely a bad loss. Definitely a bad loss. I'm not going to try to spin it in any way, but still only a second loss. Second loss in conference play is only our second loss overall. Being able to go undefeated in non-conference play, even though it was a weaker schedule, still is going to help us down the stretch. But you can't be looking that poor in any conference games. Well, hit a quick break, come back, try to break down a little bit of this Florida-Tennessee game, and then figure out what we're going to do from there. Don't go anywhere. Overtime continues after this.
I'll get the guns, the drugs, from my generation. I'll take the fall, the saints, and across the nation. And it's a sin, the guns, the fame, the fraud, the messing with me.
You or a loved one's been injured in an accident, call the Knoxville-based law offices of G. Turner Howard III. Visit them at g3helpme.com or call them at 865-558-8030. Serving all of East Tennessee with over 20 years of experience, the G3 team gets you the money you deserve. That's G, the number 3, helpme.com. All right. Try to not worry about the transfers for a second. Talk about what happened in the Swamp and just get even more sad about something else. Our basketball performance. Last night.
Pathetic.
Vols stroll into the Swamp in Gainesville and hand Florida their seventh win of the season. Number six Volunteers fall to 10-2, 4-2 in conference play as the Gators roll 75-49 over the Tennessee Volunteers. Tennessee could not shoot the basketball. It's exactly what we said this whole entire season. It's what we said last night needed to change in order for this game to go our way, and it did not happen. 16% from three-point line, 3 of 18. I believe we were 2 of 11 when I checked in the first half, which means we were 1 of 7 from three-point range. In the second half, that's not good. 29% overall from the field.
We can't shoot.
17 of 58.
Energy was so low.
The best shooter on our team that night was John Fulgerson, who was 6 of 9. Keon Johnson went 3 of 10. Victor Bailey Jr. went 1 of 12. Josiah Jordan James went 2 of 8. Pons, 2 of 7. Viscovi, 2 of 8, 1 for 6 from the 3-point line. Victor Bailey Jr. went 0 for 6 from the 3-point line, along with going 2 for 6 from the free throw line. And Keon Johnson went 2 for 7 at the free throw line. 48% from the free throw line as well. Not taking any of the gimmies either. Got out rebounded as well by 8. 36-44. We're able to get more offensive rebounds, but that's just because we were missing so many shots.
Yeah, we were missing more shots
than
them.
We had 19 defensive rebounds. They had 30.
Yeah, we just got worked. We just got worked.
They led in assist. They had more turnovers than us. No, I take that back. I read the wrong stat. Than more steals than us, which would mean we had more turnovers than them.
Yes.
You're not going to win a ball game when you're losing the rebound battle, turnover battle, and the shooting battle.
No, we played terrible.
The score reflects the game, 100%.
Yes, we played terrible at every phase of the game. We were low energy.
Even from the tip, too. It wasn't like we started strong or we started energetic and the shots weren't falling and that's what demoralized our team. This team looks dead when they start games, and it has to get going. And last night, it never got going.
They looked tired. The only guy that seemed to have any energy was Devontae Gaines. He didn't even take a shot.
Birthday game.
It was his birthday game. He was tied for our most rebounds, and he only played 11 minutes.
And he is guard.
He's a guard. Apparently he was the only guy who wanted to play last night. Rick Barnes even said it himself. That was the only good thing about last night was Devontae Gaines. That's it.
He's been working for his playing time, and I'm proud of it.
He was disgusted. Rick Barnes was disgusted last night, as he should be. They didn't have any energy. They showed no passion. They just laid over like a dog and died.
Mm-hmm.
Just let Florida walk all over them.
You can't have that, especially in conference play. These are games you really need to win, we're not going to win an SEC championship in the tournament. That's just not going to happen. We're not going to win a tournament. That's just especially if this team shows up, we're not going to win the first game, but we're not going to win a tournament. Like, Tennessee just doesn't win. So if you're banking on that regular season title to hang a banner with, then you got to start winning these games. Like, you got to start being the team that everyone has hyped you up to be, because so far, like, Tennessee has looked impressive in a couple of ball games, but we've also looked really, really bad in a couple of ball games as well.
Yeah.
Colorado is not a team you should be by 9 points. We mentioned it at the beginning of the season when we were talking about this game and saying, like, this is a good team. The Pac-12 is trash. Colorado's 11-3, but the Pac-12 is trash. Like, they've been beating teams good, but you should beat that team by more than 9 if you're the number 6 team in the country. Like, these games that we watched at the beginning of the season have a much different feeling now that we look back at them. Like, since the Cincinnati game, the score does not really affect the game because Cincinnati was in that game most of the time, but we got them in foul trouble early and they had no big bodies down low, and Pons and Fulgerson went to work. Like, when you look at these games, like, this team is good. Don't get me wrong. I love this team. I think we still have a very, very high likely of obviously making the tournament. Like, we're probably
90%
likely to make the tournament. I can put it almost a guarantee on it that we're going to make the tournament, but I'm still confident this team's going to be a second round or a second day team. But
this team has
also unimpressed me in very different ways.
Yeah, we just have an ugly offense. We just when the ball isn't going in the hoop, we falter. Our energy drops. I still think this is a team that can make the Sweet 16. They just got to get it together, figure out their shooting stroke.
And honestly, we didn't set, the loss is bad, so stay with me when I say this.
Okay.
But we didn't play that bad of defense when you look at other college basketball scores and other college basketball blowouts. Only allowing 75 points is not terrible. Now, it's not good, especially when you only score 49.
Yep.
And especially when it's Florida. But Florida's averaging around 70, 75 mm-hmm. points per game. You held them to their average. You did not bring your end of the bargain on the offensive side and play to your average or even your bare minimum. But they only shot 49% from the field, which is pretty good, but 31% from the three-point line. Like, they just out-rebounded us, and we could not score. Like, it wasn't that Florida was that much better. Like, Florida was the better team last night, but Tennessee just played that bad.
We just
played terrible. I think you just saw, hopefully, but I think you definitely just saw this basketball team's worst performance.
Yeah.
I hope so.
Man, I'm just... Whenever we needed something to be happy about, we get that taken away from us. It's the life of a Vol fan, man. It's kind of how it's been here for the last 12 years. I just don't get it. Man. But, I mean, since 2008, the Vols are 4-1 now in basketball games after firing a coach. So it's the first time we've lost after firing a coach. So maybe that's something different. But I was thinking that last night. But after what's happened today, I don't think so. I don't think it'll have any lasting effects.
So. No, I think this is a game you definitely are able to bounce back on. It would be different if, like, you didn't play your worst basketball game or something like that. But once you kind of get it out of the way, like, this is just tape that if you ever have a really good day, you can humble yourself with. But you can always, like, this is just tape you can bring up of this is what we aren't going to do. Like, this is what you can't do. I genuinely think this is going to be our worst game. And it's definitely a game you're going to need to bounce back from because you're going to be taking on number 19, Missouri, next ball game. That game is on the 23rd of January, 8:30 p.m. Eastern. Tip-off on SEC Network. And that's going to be a big ball game. Missouri coming off the win over South Carolina by 11. They're 9-2, only losses to Tennessee by 20, and they lost to Mississippi State as well. But they are a good basketball team, and they're a team that can beat you if you come here. Now, this game last night might have proved the myth that we shoot better away because when you've looked at the games, obviously we've played more home games than we have away games. Mm-hmm. We looked like we were shooting the ball and playing better at away games than we were home games.
I think we're just
not good at shooting.
I think we're just super streaky with our shooting.
I think that's fair.
It really just depends on the day, man. I mean, we could wake up and shoot 60% or we could wake up and shoot 30. We're just a poor shooting team. I would say 60% of the time, 65% of the time. We just can't shoot. One thing that I took away, I'm hoping maybe will be a little different moving forward, Rick Barnes was unhappy with his lineups. He's going to change the lineup. He's going to try new guys, different combinations, stuff like that. I think that's going to be the key down the stretch of trying to get this team as good as possible.
And also having no Jaden Springer didn't help at all. I don't think he's going to...
He's
not going to lead a 30-point comeback.
He's our best point guard.
But yes.
He is our best ball handler. We need to have him in the game. Vescovi works much better off dribble, I think, or off... You know, off ball.
Vescovi is so good at setting up everything.
Yeah.
And the movement is so beautiful when he's running the point, but at the same time, I do agree he's
much better at catching and shooting than he is. And
if we need scoring, we need Vescovi off ball, but also at the same time, we need our offense to run smoothly. And I think the best way for the offense to run smoothly is Vescovi bringing the ball up. I think Jaden Springer can do it just as well, but I think the best option, if other players are hitting their shots, is for Vescovi to bring the ball.
They're not.
Exactly my point is we need a change because Vescovi is a guy who can hit his shots, but not off the dribble when he's trying to create for other people. Mm-hmm. It's harder to create for yourself.
Yeah.
Who do you think is the best shooter on this team? Not in your opinion, but statistically, who has the best field goal percentage on this basketball team? The answer will shock you.
I'm gonna go with Josiah Jordan James.
Folky, do you have a guess? I know you're not a big basketball guy.
John Fulkerson.
It is not. It is Olivier Kamhuwa.
Kamhuwa?
Camhua. Yes, I like saying Camhua. It sounds okay. Way cooler.
Well, that's not his name. I had no idea who you were talking about.
Don't
for
care.
A second.
Oliver. It's Oliver. Okay. 65.4% from the field.
Yeah, but on how many shots?
I have no idea. I'm just reading the points. If you want to look at an actual person who's scoring the ball, the best shooter who's actually scoring the ball is who Folke said. It's John Fulkerson, but he's shooting 54%, and that's our best shooter who's actually scoring the ball. The next
down
best nasty guy
in the post.
Next best guy is Jaden Springer, who's averaging 53% from the field, and then it's a steep drop-off in terms of when you look at guys, again, who are actually filling the stat sheet. Goes from 53 to 44 for Keon Johnson, 40% for Vescovi, 42% for Victor Bailey Jr. Victy Baylor Jr. 42.3% for Josiah Jordan James, 42% from the field for Eves Pons. That's not good. That's not what you want at all. Right now, scoring leader for this team is John Fulkerson, averaging 12.2 points, 11.6 points for Victor Bailey Jr., 10 point even for Jaden Springer. Leading assist man, still Vescovi with 3.3. Pond's averaging 2 blocks per game, like always. Josiah Jordan James has been playing a lot better defense. He's averaging 1.6 steals per game. But we're averaging 10 turnovers per game, which isn't that much. But when you're slowing the game down and you're limiting possessions like we have been, giving away 10 possessions is still a lot of possessions. Keon Johnson's averaging the most turnovers per player at 2.1. Jaden Springer, the next highest, at 1.7. So the youthfulness is definitely showing in that aspect. But they're not too far off. Vescovi's averaging 1.6. So, when you just look at the stats, this team isn't a bad team. It's just a very, very... I think everyone's very, very even right now. I think we are still waiting. I think this is the thing we did last year where we waited for one guy to take over, one guy to take off, and we thought that was going to be Fulkerson, but I don't think Fulkerson is he can go off in games. Don't get me wrong. He can be your leading scorer,
yeah.
But I don't think he's that team motivator, get everyone hyped up quite like Admiral or Grant or Jordan Bone was, and we've been looking for a guy. We waited all season for a guy to pop up, and obviously season getting cut short, we never saw it. And so far this season, we've been waiting for a guy to really separate himself from the pack, and we have not seen that yet, yeah, and we are 12 games in.
There's no leader on this team, I've noticed. I mean, you look back to the Grant, Admiral, Lamonte, Jordan Bowden, you know, that team. I mean, you had Grant, Admiral. Mm-hmm. They were all kind of alpha dog mentality, like, anybody on that team at a certain time could tap their chest and take over and be a leader for this basketball. Who do you look at? I mean, Folke is the only one even resembling that, and he doesn't really do that. He's a very, like, kind of... He plays like a role player when he should be playing like the main guy. He is
and
probably...
I just don't... I love John Fulkerson. 12 points per game, leading scorer. Love all of the effort he puts in. He is not a leading guy for a D1 number 6 in the nation basketball team.
He could be.
He could be, but he's too clumsy, and in terms of just pure talent, I don't think it's there. Now, I love watching him play, and he's a very, very much dynamite and secret weapon that's hard to guard, and that's what kind of it makes it hard to guard is because everyone on this team is kind of weird. We have a starting lineup that we can make of all lefties. Like, we are a weird team.
Yeah.
But again, we still have to wait for that number one guy to take over that we have not seen yet. Scrolling down here to look at the SEC standings so far in the league. Right now, Alabama cruising. Got a big, big win over the LSU Tigers last night. They were, I don't remember the exact number. I'm going to find it, though, because it was the most amazing thing I've ever seen. They won 105-75. They let a team score 75 points and still beat them by 30. They were, box score, please. John Petty had 24 points. Primo had 22. And they were 23 of 43 from the three-point line, 53%.
Must be nice.
Must be nice. They're number one in the SEC. They're 12-3 overall. Dropped 3 non-conference games, but they're 7-0 in conference play. Looking like they could be the team to beat in the SEC, which really, really sucks because they also do that in football. Other teams, you got LSU at number 2, I believe. I think if the thing will load, I'm scrolling too fast for my screen to catch up. Yeah, LSU is 5-2 in conference play, also 2 losses. Tennessee right below them at 4-2 with 2 losses. Missouri also have 2 losses at 3-2. Kentucky snuck up. They're at 3-2 in conference play. Still 4-8 overall, however. And then it kind of drops off from there. You have Mississippi State, Florida, South Carolina, Arkansas, Texas A&M, Ole Miss, Auburn, Georgia, Vanderbilt. Hit a quick break. Come back. I guess we got to talk some more probably about what's going on in our program, if there's any more news or anything that's come out. I just wanted to try to, even though it wasn't happy, try to switch, talk about something else.
Yeah.
Come back, talk about that, play a little birthdays. I might have a little trivia for you guys. We'll see what goes on. We'll be right back. Hour two of overtime kicking off now from the White Claw, Hard Seltzer Studios. Will Stevens, Tucker Holt, John Fulkerson, White Claw Hard Seltzer Craft using seltzer water, 5% alcohol, and a hint of fruit flavor. What?
Are you sure we're starting now?
Are we?
I guess so, yeah. What was funny?
Folky laughed, so I laughed, and then you looked confused.
Okay.
No, he kind of hesitated when he said, we're starting now.
I thought Folky did like one of those things where he sees a commercial that he thinks is funny on the TV and then confuses us by laughing at it because he has the weakest sense of humor of all time.
No, I got that last. The last time that happened was funny. It was actually funny. You just missed it.
Kevin James fall out of a chair. And that's comedy right there.
It is comedy.
That is comedy.
That's how you get to the heart of John.
What do you call comedy,
John B. Fulkerson?
What do I call comedy?
Yeah.
Art doesn't really have a label. It's interpretable. I'm not saying that that's exactly. Not comedy. I'm just saying that that's your brand of comedy, and that's what you like, Folky,
you
and I appreciate
weak, which
that.
Which is derogatory.
No, I believe I called it the chair week that he fell out of because it's slapstick.
Oh, okay.
Mm. White Claw Hard Seltzer, crafted using seltzer water, 5% alcohol, and a hint of fruit flavor. They're only 100 calories, and they're now available in 8 refreshing flavors, including, but not limited to, fresh watermelon, sweet tangerine, and juicy lemon. Each one of the wave of pure refreshment. White Claw Hard Seltzer, made pure. All right. I believe it was Tanner that just had a funny tweet. Go check out the funny tweets on Fox Sports Knoxville's page. It's a very funny one about the Portal game.
The University of Tennessee is in the game of Portal.
Speaking of players leaving their football teams, Philly Rivers is retiring from football, ending his 17-year career as one of the most prolific quarterbacks in NFL history, ESPN words, not mine. Excuse me.
That's kind of sad. Legend of the game, gone.
I mean, he was two when he was drafted. I was two when he was drafted. Not he was two. He was
that's impressive.
He was probably around 22.
I don't really think he was eligible for the draft yet.
I was two when he was drafted. Played 17 years. 16 of those with the now Los Angeles Chargers, and he said in a statement on Wednesday that playing quarterback in the NFL was his, quote, childhood dream. Phillip Rivers never played in a Super Bowl. Seems kind of mean to bring that up, ESPN.
Yeah, it's kind of mean, yeah. Come on, man.
He's retired.
There's a whole... Damn, they're so mean to him. It's a whole paragraph of just him being shamed. While Rivers, 39, never played in a Super Bowl, it was one of the few glaring omissions on an otherwise remarkable resume. He ranks fifth in NFL history with 63,440 passing yards behind only Drew Brees, Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, and Brett Favre. The eight-time Pro Bowler. Oh, very, very good company. The eight-time Pro Bowler also is fifth in the league in league history with 421 passing touchdowns.
Pretty good.
Obviously didn't want to end on an even number because he is a good Christian man. Philip Rivers is. Didn't want to land on 420. Had to get that last one over the top.
Right.
He won't curse, and he doesn't like the number 69 or 420. Again, behind only Brady, Brees, Manning, Favre. Rivers said in a statement that he wanted to announce his retirement on January 20th, which is Roman Catholic Church's feast day for Saint Sebastian, often referred to as patron saint for athletes.
Okay. Well, that's good. I'm glad he got to do that. It was kind of time.
Oh, it was definitely time.
It was time.
After I saw him try to kick somebody to tackle him, I knew it was time.
While on his back.
Yeah.
He tried to trip him. It was the most unathletic thing I've ever seen.
And also somehow the most athletic thing I've ever seen.
In what way?
He got a good leg extension.
Sure.
He probably passed the sit and reach test.
Right.
I didn't. I got a negative number on the sit and reach test.
That's embarrassing. Yeah. My God, dude.
Oh, I have long legs.
You got to limber up. That, you know, it takes that into account, does it not?
No.
Oh, well, okay.
And I also have big feet, and so I couldn't fit my feet underneath the little sit and reach thing. But Philip Rivers is retiring.
Good for him. He needs to go be a father to those, what, 25 kids?
26.
26 kids. Yeah.
421.
He's gonna go build a big grill, I would say. He's going to do some grilling. He's going to be attempting to throw the Nerf football in the backyard.
What do you mean attempting, dude? Those vortexes fly.
Yeah, but his shoulder's barely holding on.
Okay, but no, but he's going to be able to throw that like an NFL football. Like, he's not going to be able to throw an NFL football or a real football anymore, but he'll be able to throw a vortex. Like, a normal NFL quarterback could throw a vortex, what, 300 yards?
I don't know, maybe.
At least, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
He could probably throw it 100 yards now instead of 300, but definitely still time to go. Now, the real question is, who takes his place? We saw, obviously, when the early retirement of Andrew Luck happened, the Colts tried to put Mr. Jacoby Brissett in his place. Got him from the Patriots after that suspension game he played in. Looked pretty solid. Tried to go the same route tree of a NC State quarterback before they picked up Philly Rivers. And it did not work out. Only works out on fourth downs and Hail Marys. So, who do you go get? Who's your number one target?
I think they're going to run with Jacoby Brissett
for really?
Next year. Yeah, I mean, he's not awful. He's not as bad. I mean, you probably won't go to the postseason, but, I mean, you'd probably run with him, draft quarterback next draft. I mean, they're not drafting very high this year. So
I honestly don't know what their position is this year.
They would probably be, what, 27?
Oh, yeah, right around there, probably.
Yeah, probably 27, 26. So, yeah, you're definitely not going to get a quarterback worthy of drafting that late. So probably just roll with Jacoby Brissett, man. Just, I mean, he played all right. You just got to kind of build a framework of an offense that'll work to his strengths. He's got a lot of arm strength. He can throw the ball deep. You just kind of work with him on his accuracy.
Colts have the 21st pick.
21st
pick. So not okay, terrible. So, it's not terrible.
So a little higher than what I thought, but you're still not going to draft a quarterback unless you get lucky and have somebody like
Trey Lance might slip.
Maybe, but do you want to build your franchise around Trey Lance? No.
Probably not.
No.
Dwayne Haskins.
Nope.
Dwayne Haskins.
Do you go?
No. No.
Yep.
Do you think if the Jets take a quarterback, because that's been the kind of the question there, do you go get Sam Darnold if they need that's if the Jets even want to get rid of Sam Darnold and not hold on to him to try to grow a youth player underneath?
If the Jets do what I think they should, they won't. I think you try to hold on to Sam Darnold. And just
but if they do go after someone else and Sam Darnold's available, are you taking Jacoby Brissett or are you taking a chance
I'm
on
taking Sam
that
Darnold.
Adam Gase ruined Sam Darnold?
Yeah, I'm taking Sam Darnold over Jacoby Brissett, but I don't think that's going to happen.
And we kind of know that Carson Wentz is probably off the table now that Doug Peterson is out of Philadelphia.
Yeah, because the Philly owners and GM, they love him for some reason. Mm-hmm. He's not really done anything ever. I mean, he got close to an MVP season and got hurt. That's it. That's his big achievement. Nick Foles won that Super Bowl. I don't believe that Wentz would have won that Super Bowl. Just, I don't. He's not been the same since that injury. I think Philly's going to stick with him. I think the Jets are going to stick with Sam Darnold. I think Indy's in a tough spot right here. Without they can go and somehow pull the greatest heist of all time and steal Deshaun Watson.
They can either try to do that. Looking at the quarterbacks who are possibly going to be free agents this year, they are going to be free agents this year, possibly as in the team could re-sign them.
Yeah.
Basically, the first guy is the main guy I'm talking about in Dak Prescott. But here's the thing. Jacoby Brissett's free agent this year.
Mm-hmm.
Do you re-sign Jacoby Brissett just to hold on to him, or do you go try to find anybody else?
You don't want to get stuck without a quarterback.
That's true, but you're kind of – I mean, you
– you won't have to pay Jacoby Brissett much money.
That's fair.
You can get him on a pretty decent deal. I think especially no one's going to be trying to poach Jacoby Brissett from you.
He's the second on this list at $15 million.
Yeah, you pay him just to hold on to him. If anything, as he's shown, he can be a decent backup. Like, you still need a backup quarterback even if you do land somebody else. Hold on to Jacoby Brissett at a decent rate and test the water, see if you can get somebody else. But if you can't, roll Jacoby. You'll probably get a high draft pick next year.
Mm-hmm.
Pick a quarterback.
Dak Prescott is the number one name, obviously.
Yes.
He'll probably most likely be re-signed if Mr. Jones is not mad.
No, Mitchell Dak Trubisky. Prescott, yeah, and it depends on how his leg heals and stuff like mm-hmm. that and how that's looking.
Well, to be fair, and Dak Prescott was playing insane, so don't get me wrong. Five yes. games he played, he threw for 1,856 yards and 9 touchdowns.
A record year. It's
3 rushing touchdowns along with that as well.
He snapped his leg.
Yes, but I mean, Andy Dalton didn't look terrible. In 11 games, he did throw for 2,169 yards along with 14 passing touchdowns and only 8 interceptions.
It's not a
re-signable, amazing. But that's a back. I mean, he's going to go find another backup contract.
Yeah, I mean, he could even go to Indy if he wanted to. He's probably better than Jacoby Brissett.
That's what I was kind of about to say. That was my next question.
Yeah, he could go to Indy.
And his evaluation is at $3 million, so just cheaper. AJ McCarron's on here. Tyrod Taylor, Ryan Fitzpatrick, Mitch Trubisky, Nathan Peterman.
Fitzpatrick catches my eye there. He could go to Indy. He would fit really good in that in what they like to do, run the ball, stuff like that.
I wouldn't be surprised if Miami re-signs Fitz-y, but at the same time, they do have a lot of picks, so I would also not be surprised if they do. I'm looking – it's going to look like the Dolphins.
Miami.
Oh, yeah. It looks like the Dolphins are probably going to do a big roster mix up this year.
Because they've got to start building around Tua. If
they're building around Tua.
They got to decide if they're building around Tua and then make a move.
They got to go Josh Rosen.
I think regardless, Fitz is gone.
Yeah, but they either got to go Josh Rosen route that the Cardinals did a couple years back, or they got to build around Tua. But I do agree with you. Regardless, Fitzmagic is probably out. Nathan Peterman, Robert Griffin III, Matt Barkley, Nate Sudfeld, Cam Newton, Joe Flacco, Ryan Griffin, Mike Glennon, Geno Smith, Blaine Gabbert, Jameis Winston is going to be a free agent. How about that?
Yeah.
1 million, 100 yards.
He'll probably be trying to fight for that job in New Orleans.
But if someone offers him more money or a starting job, he could dip quickly. If Sean Payton's trying to play this out and wait it out. You also
and
have Brian.
Still
go ahead.
If they still can't decide between him and Taysom Hill.
Yes, yeah, that's what I was going to say.
I would take Jameis Winston.
I would.
I mean, number one, I would prefer to have Taysom Hill.
Patrick Mahomes or Jameis Winston?
With what?
What are you taking?
Patrick Mahomes?
Oh, idiot. You go memes over wins every time.
Never.
Brian Hoyer, Blake
Tell
Bortles,
that to the Super Bowl ring.
Brett Hundley. Okay. Winston threw a touchdown.
There's
pass.
A meme on our Super Bowl ring. It's all our comebacks. Boom, right there, right on the side, engraved.
I don't think you know what the definition of a meme is.
I don't think you know what winning a Super Bowl is like.
You're correct. I do not. I do not know what winning a Super Bowl is like. because the team I root for is actually where I live, and I root for a local team. I am not a bandwagon.
My team was the local team in the 60s when my father became a fan. Let's move on.
Oh, yes, yes. C.J. Beathard, Brendan Allen.
No.
Nick Mullins.
No.
Josh Rosen.
No.
Jake Roddick.
No.
Kyle Allen.
He'll go be a backup somewhere.
Only 675.
He'll go be a backup somewhere.
Tim Boyle.
He was all right. Who?
Tim Boyle.
Who the hell is that?
Joe Webb.
Okay, now we're nope. Now we're getting into third string boys.
I'm just reading names, man.
Well, we probably shouldn't.
Here's the last name. Here's the last name for you.
Is it a known name?
No, this is a name you know.
Okay.
Former Tennessee guy?
Tyler Bray.
Joshua Dobbs.
Okay, Josh Dobbs. All right. Actually, I like this. Okay. Is it
Patrick Mahomes or Josh Dobbs?
Shut up, Patrick Mahomes. Anyways, so as of this second, Big Ben's coming back, right? Like, as of this moment, he's not said anything, right?
He has not said
anything.
I guess not saying anything.
And it's been speculated.
Depending on what your opinion is of him not saying anything would be what you're taking away. But yes, he has not said anything.
I think
he's coming back, yes.
You think he's coming back?
I wouldn't be surprised. I think it's more likely than not that he's coming back.
He probably shouldn't.
I don't think he should.
No.
I don't think it would look good. But at the same time, I don't see Big Ben going out losing to the Browns twice in a row and for the first time in his career at home in the playoffs.
So looking at Josh Dobbs in his career.
Big Ben is a egomaniac.
Josh Dobbs' best opportunity at becoming a starting quarterback, sadly.
Grant Williams from 3 for the corner. Bang!
Okay. Woo! Josh Dobbs' best opportunity to be a starting quarterback in the National Football League is
Grant Williams getting the start. Let's go.
Yeah,
sorry.
He's a good player. Is in Pittsburgh. I think his best opportunity is to wait until Big Ben retires. Because, I mean, the Steelers have been rolling with him for years now.
They got rid of him to Jacksonville, and then he found his way back.
He has, every time he's been on their roster, he's been the second string guy. They've not put, except for Mason Rudolph, which Mason Rudolph was quickly shown to be a bum.
Yeah.
And he was slid up in front of him. He's played well in the opportunities that he's got in the preseason and stuff like that. I think Josh Dobbs could be an NFL quarterback. I think he plays well.
He is an NFL quarterback. I know what you meant.
But
that was my inner dad joke. I apologize.
It's okay. I don't know. He could try and sign somewhere else. I don't know who's going to sign him. It's really hard for a backup quarterback to go get signed somewhere else and compete for a starting job, because once you're signed away as a backup, you're kind of branded as a backup.
I think
their best, his best opportunity, he just needs to stay in Pittsburgh. At most, I think he's got one more year sitting behind Big Ben, and I think he'll get a shot.
I love Josh Dobbs.
I would love to see him get a shot, because he's a fun player. He's exciting. What are you getting excited for over there, or mad?
You know how, like, when an ad loads, it, like, jumps your page just a little bit to where you're trying to click?
Yes.
The ad kept trying to load and then not loading and trying to load and then not loading, so I had to wait, like, 30 seconds in order to click on the one link I was aiming for.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I was getting frustrated about. But the link I was aiming for, NBA to enforce rules forbidding hugs and handshakes with mid-court security. After witnessing some opposing players disregarding NBA new rules against unnecessary contact on game nights, the NBA is moving team security into mid-court area to dissuade violations that include hugging and handshakes, according to a league memo obtained by ESPN on Wednesday.
It's a pretty stupid rule.
As coronavirus infections increased amid a darkening pandemic, the NBA recently tightened regulations on players and staff, including several meant to lessen the possibility of on-court transmissions. Yeah, no, I agree. This is the dumbest rule.
You play against, you touch each other on a basketball court. You'll touch each other 10 minutes later. What's going to stop them from dapping each other up as the game starts?
Exactly.
Like, at the
I mean, what's going to stop COVID from passing when you're being posted up versus dapping someone up or giving someone a hug?
Pretty stupid.
This would be like Nate being like, all right, I don't want you guys sitting anywhere close to each other out in the lobby. I don't even want you talking to each other. I don't even want you knowing each other exist. But when you get in here, make sure the chemistry's good.
Yeah.
It doesn't work like that.
No.
That would make no sense. I mean, it would be like...
It's all optics. I mean, almost every NBA basketball, or not NBA basketball, NBA COVID rule... is optics. They want it to look like they are being as safe as possible.
And it makes sense, because as stupid as it sounds, it does comfort people who watch those things. It does.
Sure.
It does make people feel a little bit better. Regardless if it makes you feel better, there is at least one person out there.
It's just, at least, I mean, you got to be smart enough to know, like, what the hell's a handshake going to change? You know?
Exactly. Whenever
you're face guarding someone, and if you're playing man-to-man, you're...
It's just classic security.
Face to face the whole game.
It's just classic security theater. Now,
yeah.
To pretend that everything is classic security theater, it's not.
Stuff like that, that's important.
Yes, but...
Wear those.
But the stupid little rules that we're getting carried away with when we're not really paying attention to the big picture and actually trying to solve big picture problems and just getting by with nitpicking like that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like I say, 90% of arguments are semantics. 90% of these little issues like this are not issues when you're still going to be having the transmissions happening on the court anyways.
Yeah. And they're tested every single
day. Exactly.
Every single day.
Yeah. Doesn't make a lot of sense. NBA is in full swing, though.
Kyrie Irving is playing currently and immediately had an insane turnaround jumper right out of the gate.
Let's go.
A minute and a half into
James Harden debut, he drops a triple-double. Maybe Kyrie might do the same. Despite those changes that were made in order to tighten the rules before this rule was made by the NBA, there was still instances of traditional player contact in post-game scenarios in which led the NBA to issue a memo today on Wednesday reaffirming the rules that require teams to remain on their half of the court in pregame and halftime warmups and limits physical contact to include only elbow or fist bumps. High fives, hugs, and handshakes are not allowed, nor are extended post-game conversations.
Okay.
You can knock me up, you can give me some bow, but if you try to respect me and shake my hand, if you try to love me and give me a hug, if you try to get me excited and give me a high five, whew, hell, if you try to talk to me, expect some money coming out of your paycheck.
Yeah, that's pretty dumb. Who cares?
Yeah, the week of
have
the
your conversation mid-game.
Yeah.
No, just that's your loophole. Just go ahead and get out of that.
No more trash talking.
I hope they high-five each other all game.
Just LeBron and Chris Paul, hey, we're taking banana boat
just
this weekend, right?
Just secret handshakes, the whole nine yards, the woogity-woogity-woogity, all that. Mid-game.
What do they do with those?
That's fair play. I think it's pre or post game. The during the game it's to wild.
I mean the fancy handshakes. No handshakes, as in I'm expecting no traditional handshakes. None of this.
Right.
None of this action. No high fives. I'm expecting none of this action.
Right.
Or some dap. I'm guessing is
right.
What they would consider high fives. But if you got like one of these, give me. Put your hand up. You go back and forth. Like, is that still considered a high five, but you did touch knuckles, so technically that could be a fist bump.
Well, yeah, so the backhand part was allowed.
So if we backhanded each other, if we just walked up and backhanded each other, it's still knucks.
Sure, I think that
but that's
be
just
allowed.
A reverse high five. That's yes. Literally the exact, you
I
just
think
flipped
mostly,
your hand over.
I think they're mostly worried about the palm.
Because
that's the dirty part.
I might start holding things with the backside of my hand.
I don't think you can. Your fingers don't curve that way, buddy. I'm sorry.
It's a good point by you.
I hate to be the first person to tell you that.
It's a good point by you.
They go that way, you know, the normal way.
Yeah.
The same way mine and Folky's do.
I guess.
Yeah, just like that.
My whole life.
Good job, Folky. Way to close that hand.
I thought I had reverse hands.
Yeah, it's tough. I did too, till I was born.
You mentioned it earlier. I got a headline here about the failing marriage in Houston. It sparked near hysteria in the New York and New Jersey area, according to Rich.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know where the hell he's going.
Deshaun Watson?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No idea. It's going to be fun, though. It's been, I mean, Tom Brady was the last big free agent quarterback we've had, and he was like the first in. Technically, Deshaun Watson's not even really a free agent, but he's on the market. You don't normally see quarterbacks.
Tom Brady had to be the first one since I can remember being like that big of a deal, Peyton Manning. Peyton went from Indy to Denver, and we were tracking planes and stuff.
Yes. Yeah.
Like that has to be,
mm-hmm.
We're talking
and
same
that was
magnitude.
Only because they cut him.
Yeah. Yeah. But no.
Did they trade him to Denver? They didn't cut him. They traded him to Denver.
I don't remember.
Mm-hmm. They cut him. Traded him.
NFL speculation machine is working at high speed. The New York Jets have been linked to Deshaun Watson in potential trade scenarios for the disgruntled Texans quarterback. The back page of the New York Post, playing on whatever Watson's last name screamed, whatever it takes.
He was free agent. He was a free agent.
He was. That's what I thought. I just didn't want to correct you if I was wrong. Because if I correct you and I'm wrong, then I look
like double. Yeah, because he chose between...
Double down being a jerk.
He chose between Denver and the Washington Redskins at the time.
Huh.
He only chose the Redskins because RG3 was drafted by them.
He only chose the Broncos because RG3 was... Oh, he chose the Redskins because RG3 was drafted, or the reason he drafted?
Well, he didn't go to the Redskins.
You misspoke, my bad. Yeah, I thought I was correcting you, and then I thought I was doing that
he
thing.
He chose the team he went with because...
I got you.
The Redskins drafted a quarterback.
Yeah.
So.
All right, hit a quick break. Come back. Talk about some other things, and then we'll play some birthdays. I'll find something to talk about. Don't worry. We'll be right back. Ringing Havana. I took a little risk. Send lawyers, guns, and money. Dad, get me out of this. Ha! Welcome back in. Fandom Radio, Fox Sports, Knoxville, live from the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. Will Stevens, Tucker Holt, John Fulgerson with y'all. We were talking about
some stuff.
Well, we were talking about Phillip Rivers. We were talking about the quarterback future. We were talking about a lot of quarterbacks.
Yep.
Green Bay Packers quarterback Aaron Rodgers, not feeling any pressure, says his future is, quote, a beautiful mystery.
Nah, he's still got like 5 years left. That idiot's going to play forever, and he's going to be good doing it. It pisses me off. I love it because I love watching him play. But
it's his fourth NFC Championship game since his sole and lone Super Bowl appearance 10 years ago.
God, that was 10 years ago.
Yes, it was.
I remember. Man. Too bad he won't win another one this year.
No.
Too bad. But no.
He could.
I mean, it's on the table. He's probably going.
He has just as much of a chance as the Chiefs.
Probably.
25% chance everywhere you go.
Yep. Yeah.
Except the Chiefs are probably like 50 right now. 50-50. Nah. Yeah.
I don't know. You almost lost to the Browns.
Chad Henne almost lost to the Browns.
No, the whole team.
Chad Henne beat the Browns.
I believe.
Chad Henne beat the Browns by himself. Chad Henne
single-handedly beat the Browns.
Single-handedly rushed for 13 and a half yards.
So you do agree that the injury to Mahomes did not give you all a chance to lose the game, but actually won you the ball game? Is that what you're saying?
No,
are you conceding?
It would not have been that close had Patrick Mahomes played, but still,
I think Tony just conceded.
Are the Chiefs better without Patrick Mahomes?
Patrick Mahomes overrated? Patrick Mahomes system quarterback, question mark?
Patrick Mahomes and the Browns were coming back. Chad Henne and the Chiefs won. Patrick Mahomes, is he overrated?
Patrick Mahomes stays in the game. We hang 40, and you guys go home losing 40-6. And you never wear that Cleveland hoodie again.
Why?
Casey Urlacher.
Embarrassment.
Brother of former Chicago Bears star Brian Urlacher. I guarantee you cannot guess where I'm going with this last part of the sentence. Pardoned by Donald Trump.
Huh.
Brian Urlacher had a brother in prison.
The brother of Chicago Bears Hall of Fame linebacker Brian Urlacher
has
been pardoned of federal charges that he recruited for a multi-million-dollar illegal offshore gambling ring.
Ooh.
Casey Urlacher, mayor of the tiny Chicago suburb Mettawa, was among
he was embezzling a bunch of money.
Was among those pardoned in the final hours of Donald Trump's presidency. As a part of a flurry of clemency actions that benefited more than 140 people, including Kodak Black,
Lil Wayne,
Joe Exotic.
Did Joe Exotic make it? I don't think he made the list, man. They had the limo.
Oh, dude, that limo was so nice, too.
That limo was the most redneck thing I had ever seen in my life. It was a Dodge truck.
Okay, but that's what no rich person actually gets a limo.
He did not get the pardon.
What about Bobby Shmurda?
That is such a tease. No, Bobby Shmurda did not make it.
But he's out. I mean,
he's out this
month.
Year.
He's out next month.
No, December.
December.
He has one more year.
His mom just said he's getting
Are you positive?
Yeah, his mom said he's getting out in February.
Did they push up the release date? Because last time I've been on the Bobby Shmurda release date for a minute.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
And it's been December, I think it's been December 5th, because that was when JG tweeted it out. And it was the same date as Bobby Shmurda's release, I believe.
Bobby Shmurda could get out of prison as early as February 23rd.
So he could get out as early, but it's looking like he will.
It's looking like he will.
Let's go. Casey Urlacher, 41, was charged last February and pleaded not guilty the next month. He also played football, but with limited success, having played at Lake Forest College, not Wake Forest College, but Lake Forest College, in the Arena Football League, before becoming mayor of the village of fewer than 550 people in 2013. And then it just goes on to talk about Brian Urlacher supporting Trump. I thought there was going to be like a little bit more talking about Casey Urlacher, but no, it is just basically a cancellation of Brian Urlacher. Never mind.
I find it hilarious that Joe Exotic had the limo lined up, ready to go. They were going to go get some McRibs.
It's like getting stood up for prom. Like, that's the exact...
I think it's hilarious that... I bet you... Did anyone even tell them? Like, did someone say, hey, you're going to get pardoned? Or were they just like, nah, he's going to do it?
I think TMZ released an article and then they're like, oh, whoa.
Hold on.
There's a news article about us?
All right, get the limo.
We're in the news for the first time since April?
Yeah, get the limo. How long is his sentence? He's still got, like, a long time, right?
I thought it was life.
He did not get life.
No, it wasn't
life. No, you don't pardon a guy with life in prison.
Well, you can, but you don't.
You can, but typically not.
It's frowned upon.
Yeah. I don't know. He was sentenced to 22 years in 2020.
So,
gosh.
He's been in jail for 1 year.
Wow.
2042.
Yes.
Fair enough.
That is the math.
Hit a quick break. Come back. Play birthdays next. You don't want to miss it. Welcome back in. Fan Radio, Fox Sports, Knoxville. Live from the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. It's time for the birthday game. So let's get right into it. Folky, are you ready?
Let's do it. Yes.
Tucker.
I'm ready.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right. Give me 1 second.
Okay.
Are you ready?
No.
It doesn't seem like you are.
No, not ready at all. Exit out of that. Bang. And we're back. January 20th, 1997. He's 24 years old today. Rapper born in Los Angeles, California. Controversial rapper with top hits such as Freak Bleep and Dreadlocks. He released an EP called Too Cocky and premiered songs called Tatiana and The Next Blue Big Face. Thing. It is Blueface.
Terrible rapper.
Horrible.
Whack.
Freak Bleep, I thought was going to be Speaker Knockers, but he is...
I thought y'all were going to say 6ix9ine when I said controversial rapper.
He is no longer with us. Speaker Knockers is not.
R.I.P.
Mm. Yeah.
Born January 20th, 1966, 55 years old today, born in Seattle, Washington. Television actor.
Tekashi 6ix9ine.
Television actor.
Okay. Mm.
And not 55 years old today. Television actor.
Figured I would guess.
Noted.
Best known for playing this character in The Office.
Steve Carell.
He can also be seen in one Creed season Bratton. Of stint on HBO's critically acclaimed drama 6 Feet Under. He also appeared in the film Transformers.
Oscar Robertson.
That's John, a basketball player.
No, what? Oscar Nunez.
John Krasinski. Rainn Wilson.
It is Rainn Wilson.
Oh, my God.
I'm surprised that that was the 9th name you said.
I can.
You can't really say, oh, my God, you said 4 names before you got to the second main character.
Third.
Sorry.
Third main character, yeah.
Third main character, my apologies. Fourth.
Who? It's like four.
Pam, I would say it goes Michael, Jim, Pam.
It goes Michael, Jim, Pam, Dwight, and then there's...
You guys are
they're tiered.
Pam?
They're tiered for sure, but I think...
They're all the same.
Ahead of Dwight?
They're Pam, all the same. They're all the same.
We're tiering, we're not ranking. Tiering, not ranking.
Okay.
And
sorry.
Then below them is like, you know, Phyllis, Creed, Oscar. Angela is probably second tier because she's in a lot of... Because she mixes in with Dwight. Yeah,
put
whatever.
Kevin up there.
Like
yeah.
It matters.
Yeah.
Kevin.
Okay. Yeah.
Kevin's a third.
I think Kevin,
tier.
Angela, and really? Creed are all three on that second level, and then it goes one more level once you see the normal characters.
Maybe.
Andy Bernard's probably up there.
Andy Bernard's a second tier.
Mitta Rogers. Daryl. Daryl is up there.
Mitta Rogers.
That was the only name I could remember him by.
Wow.
Wow.
Okay.